At the end of the whole intervention period, after the post-assessments, Judith Gale, the diversity coach, and I co-facilitated a structured group interview with executive leadership at both intervention hospitals. So what this particular presentation does is it summarizes their perspectives on the project. Was it a success? Wasn't it? What did they learn about themselves personally? How do they feel about their successes and the moments that were not so successful in implementing their action plans? If they had it to do over again, would they have engaged in this? What worked, what didn't, kind of thing. I don't think I saw too many new people come in, so I'm not going to go over the details of the design all over again. But a little bit different learning objectives that focus more on leadership and some of the unique challenges that they saw to doing a diversity change specifically. Same team that I mentioned before, same project with the same purpose, same goals, same systems approach, same flow, and what we're talking about now is the very last, bottom left, the post-project feedback and planning for sustained change, which was the purpose of the group interview. Same timetable, and as I mentioned before, all eight of the hypotheses, we hypothesized that the intervention hospitals that received all the assistance were going to outperform their controls in their own health system, and all eight of those were supported at one intervention hospital, with six of the eight supported fully at two of those intervention hospitals. So, and I summarized that before, so we're going to go on to the interventions insights from the C-suite. What did they share with us in this interview? We asked them first about key accomplishments. What do you think was the big things that you think you accomplished through this project? And you can see some similar themes, kind of matched them up with each other, but Intervention Hospital X, that's the one that had more success in implementing its organizational change plan and that also had more success in supporting the hypotheses, changing their website, all the way, every measure we had, they had more success at it than did Hospital Y. Intervention Hospital X said it opened conversations on diversity that used to be avoided. Race, sexual orientation were kind of the elephants in the living room, they said, and no longer after the project. They were willing to engage in those conversations, and they attributed a lot of that to the training that they received that opened up an opportunity in a controlled environment to talk about things that are challenging to talk about. They also said, which counters one of our findings, that their HCAHPS scores went down. They said patient complaints, however, have gone down to almost zero, and they attribute that to the project. So post-intervention, they're not getting complaints anymore from patients. They also said that the project gave them, the leadership team, the voice to speak up as diversity advocates in the hospital and health systems. They would articulate clearly what they needed and insist that systems leadership provide it to them. One example being in this both health systems, it was at the systems level that pools of potential employees were selected, and the leadership at Intervention Hospital X insisted, give us a pool, but you've got to give us a diverse pool, and we'll accept nothing less. Remember, you paid for this project, and they really kept encouraging that buy-in, and it paid off, and in fact helped to change things at the systems level. Intervention Hospital Y said that as leaders, they became more aware of service area diversity beyond race and gender. So looking at aspects of particular religious diversity and other aspects of diversity that would impact upon the services that they need to be providing and interactions with their customers. They all mentioned that the project was the genesis for a comprehensive patient satisfaction initiative that's still going on. It's where from beginning when the patient and the family walk into the hospital, how they're greeted, feeling included, all of those things. And they feel that they gained more community trust. They attracted more diverse patients, and they say staff are really more perceptive to change, less change-resistant, less resistant, and make fewer assumptions about patients than they used to. Personal impact, which I think is really key to change, both sets of executives agreed that the project was really a humbling experience for them. And this is paraphrasing one of the leaders in particular, and he was referring in particular to the Harvard Implicit Attitude Test. Anybody ever take any of those? Oh, I highly recommend them. Just Google Harvard IAT and take a whole bunch of them and listen to yourself, watch what you think as you get that feedback. And read the frequently answered questions before you dismiss them out of hand. For me, in the diversity leadership course that I teach, my MBA students say that this is their biggest takeaway, is always, my God, I thought it was those gray-haired baby boomers, but here I am, a millennial, and I'm biased too. And it affects what I think, what I do, how I act. So very important insight, because if we don't know what our attitudes are, what we think, we are not self-empowered to change them. So I was personally thrilled that that was a theme that emerged in both of the leadership groups. Both of the leadership groups also said sometimes it was really frustrating because there were so many other things that came up in this five-year period that the systems level executives wanted from us, and we would get pushback, and it was hard for us to keep sustaining this, and that was tough. And that reaffirmed, I know for us as the research and implementation team, how important it is to have corporate commitment, which we now believe would have happened more had we included the systems executives at minimally in all of the training that we did. And the project also broadened their awareness of the need to recognize multiple dimensions of diversity. In fact, quite a few of the executives said, you know, we walked into this thinking diversity is a euphemism for race and ethnicity, and now we've learned it's a lot bigger than that. And that was also, I think, a very helpful kind of realization at the personal level that made a difference. Both health systems agreed, yes, there was really a good return on investment. They both gave us something specific, a hospital-wide community trust and an employer of choice in the area happened for them, they believe. And Hospital X said, we're getting a lot better at managing racial and ethnic diversity than we used to be, and there are a lot of the interventions and assessments that they latched onto and continue to do more of. They have tripled their access to their interpreters, on-site interpreters they had before. They've done training in intervention hospital Y and the use of interpreter phones and tripled the number that they have. So they really are working to build some infrastructure that is going to be maintained, we hope, beyond the project. The constraints that impeded success were actually similar in both health systems, but Hospital X, the one that outperformed on all the success measures that we had, were able to successfully intervene, whereas Hospital Y had a rougher time doing that. So Intervention Hospital X said it's competing priorities within the system, but their work on the project has managed to cross-pollinate the entire system. They felt empowered to go to their systems executives and say, we're doing this project, we've learned that diversity matters, here's how it dovetails with all the other things that we're doing, we should all be doing this. And actually many of their initiatives are now emerging as corporate initiatives within the health system. Intervention Hospital Y, on the other hand, there was significant change happening in the system. One of the things that happened in the course of the project, having a diversity council or a diversity leader with a budget on site at the hospital level is one of the hallmarks of diversity leadership. The beginning of the project, Hospital Y had one. By the end, they didn't, having nothing to do with the project, but the system decided to centralize the management of diversity into one council. And the executives tried to push back, were unsuccessful in doing so, and were really, really disappointed. Similarities, they both had that broadened perspective. They thought their initial investment was good. They were really pushed by those priorities. One of the things they couldn't change that, gosh, I think is ever so important to be welcoming in the challenging circumstance people face when they're going for a healthcare encounter is signage. Signage beyond just signs in different languages, signs that you can read, directions so you can know where you're going no matter what your literacy is or your language preference is, but also pictures, visuals that look like you, that welcome you. They were unable to make those changes, and they both so wanted to, but again, they were unable to get the systems level change to make that happen yet. Neither one of them has given up, they tell us. There were some real contrasts, and they basically have to do with how successful they were in being able to actually influence the system. Intervention Hospital X was able to influence corporate human resources to get a more diverse candidate pool. They continue to lead the diversity and inclusion initiatives locally, but they get support from the system. The system is actually now sending a systems executive to participate in their diversity council meetings. So this is really dovetailed into a change at a bigger level than just the hospital. They've re-energized their diversity council, and they also have more racial and ethnic diversity in the hospital leadership team than they had when the project began 5 years ago. Intervention Hospital Y, again, candidate pools are selected at corporate level. They were unable to influence the system to formally consider diversity in the formulation of these pools. All diversity and inclusion initiatives have now been centralized, and the hospital executives are just feeling like their hands are tied in terms of being able to leverage the influence that they wish that they could have. The hospital level D&I council I mentioned before is disbanded, replaced by a systems one, and the leadership team itself is actually a bit less racially and ethnically diverse than it was when the project began. Here's what they recommend if to other organizations that want sustainable change. They say, think a whole bunch about startup and how much effort it's going to take. They really, in both cases, said, you know, we don't like how long the intervention period took, but we're not blaming you for it, Judith. We're blaming ourselves because there were so many competing priorities. We really didn't get this moving. We had no idea what a challenge this was going to be, particularly with the researchers with all the assessments. And as organized as we tried to be, lots of assessments, all relatively short, but a real challenge to get those metrics. Aligning the project with other initiatives and priorities is important. And Hospital X in particular, the executives have become very successful at explaining how diversity dovetails with all kinds of other things, such as quality initiatives and what the relationships are and how they support one another. It's important, they said, and we certainly agreed, to directly involve health systems leadership in the project. We all think now if health systems leadership had been in that bringing your whole self to work LGBT training that we had, if they had been in training, the implicit bias training, the racial identity status training, the general introduction to diversity training, the generations at work training, we did a whole variety of things, their eyes would have been open to themselves too, potentially, and that would have garnered more support. And I wish now that we'd taken a chance on that instead of been so concerned about having that so affect the control hospital that we wouldn't be able to measure a difference. So that was, I think, a mistaken design. We have to ensure that adequate support resources are committed. It's another thing they said they didn't, that they felt like they fell short on. And they knew it was a money thing, but they said, boy, if the whole hospital's been able to do this, we think we could have done better. And they said, going on, we really have to maintain this as a priority. So what is this blueprint for sustainable change? I think it's three things. Which, again, I emphasize with my other colleagues in the textbook, Diversity and Cultural Competence in Healthcare. First is strategic diversity management, setting up that infrastructure, the policies, the practices, doing strategic planning. But the second is self-reflective leadership and personal change. One without the other is not sufficient. And that will result in the third, culturally and linguistically appropriate care. If you focus on just one, and not the other two, it's not going to work so well. We need to bundle those whole three and see how they fit together. So that's it. We have time, Jennifer, for questions, or I could go on too long. This research is like so hot off the presses, I haven't gotten good at consolidating it yet and spending a little bit less time on the details. So I apologize for that if it went on a little too much. We did not do anything formal in terms of when we selected the health systems to participate for readiness to change, but they did sign an agreement that specified the level of involvement they agreed to have, all that they agreed to participate in, and that was it in terms of readiness. Yes. Yes.
So it's interesting that in your results around succession planning and diversity leadership, that was controlled by the system. So if one of the goals is to create also a workforce that is reflective of whether that population level is low, that's controlled hierarchically by the system itself. I'd be curious to know if they recognize that or if that was perhaps an additional work they may have made.
I'm pretty convinced that certainly at Health System X that we're going to see attention to that, and that increasingly that whole system is going to, that cross-pollination is happening from the intervention side. Health System Y, I think it remains to be seen whether or not things will change at the systems level. But you're absolutely right. If you want sustainable change, succession planning is absolutely essential. Henry Ford Health System in Detroit, Michigan is very well known for its diversity initiatives. And I remember talking to a colleague of mine, Bob Riney, from the health system, when they were looking for their new system CEO, and he said, one of the key things that we're doing is ensuring that our next CEO also values diversity, and they have all kinds of key questions that they ask that individual to ensure that who they recruited to replace Gail Warden actually had that kind of a value set and personal understanding. So yeah, it is absolutely important, or change just can't be sustained. Any other questions about the project?
I have one question. Could you share some of the characteristics of the geographic location? So I know you can't disclose the health systems, but were they in similar locations, Midwest?
Yeah, they're all in the East Coast. Okay. So, and they were in areas that, in terms of service area, not terribly, but a little bit whiter than the U.S. population overall is. And they were both in areas where religious, racial, and ethnic diversity, as well as other diversity dimensions, were changing. And some hidden dimensions of diversity were becoming more visible as social attitudes started to change. And that also was a factor that made them say, we know we need to get better at diversity broadly defined than we are right now. Good question. Unfortunately, we don't. And I'll tell you, that was another thing that we wanted to do. Our initial design actually had a whole array of nursing-sensitive measures that were, we thought, routinely collected, ought to be available. We did get the buy-in to collect those measures pre-post. We have them pre, but the time post came, even at the entire hospital level, we were just unable to get those measures. So that was one of our goals. So that's another thing I would hope the next time someone does one of these projects, hopefully I know there's more and more attention to collection of those kind of quality measures. There's also, due to the Affordable Care Act as well as other regulatory requirements, we're requiring more and more race-ethnicity data collection. So I'm hoping that we can get more of those kinds of measures because we don't know. We absolutely don't. We hope so. I think we came a little baby step closer. We hope to make a giant leap forward, and the real world got in the way, and it didn't happen. Any other questions? All right. Well, thank you so much for attending. And I think our last presenter is...
He had leave.
Person number three.
Unfortunately, had an emergency and was not able to make it today. So this will conclude our session if there are no additional questions. Thank you.
All right. Early lunch. Thank you very much.